So good morning, dear friends. We'll listen to three sounds of the bell. And as we breathe in, we invite our ancestors to breathe in with us. As we breathe out, we invite our ancestors to breathe out with us, to be here with us as we touch peace and rest and ease, and also all the things that aren't peace and ease. As we touch our suffering, as we touch our tension, as we touch our sense of separation, we breathe all of that in and out, and we invite our ancestors to be present with us as we encounter what's here in this moment, just as it is. So we are really making this retreat together. I was sitting this morning with what should I share? What did I want to bring to this talk? And feeling like there were so many things that I want to share, and so much that needs to be looked at. And I am also just sitting with the brain of an organizer. And all the things that, you know, Maricela and I want to do right for this retreat to be a wonderful experience for all of us. And so I just noticed the jumble in my head this morning, like, I don't know what's going to come out of me at the talk. And what I did in meditation was I used the practice that I had heard many times from Thay, where he said, if you're having trouble figuring out how to do something, let the Buddha do it for you. And as we've just honored our ancestors, we could also say, let the ancestors do it. So I relaxed. I said, okay, the Buddha is going to have to give this talk because I'm not sure what to do. And sure enough, as I relaxed, I started to have lots of things come that I thought I could share with you today. And so I think I just first want to offer you all the context that Maricela and I and the many hands who have been helping to prepare this retreat, You know, our largest group in all of these 4 years that we've been offering this has been about 15 people, I think. I think that was the largest. Maybe 20, but for that was just for one day. It wasn't an overnight, right? And then any of the residential retreats have been 15, 10. So we were very impressed, very pleased to have so many people be interested in this retreat. And 50 people tried to sign up. 50 people. And we ended up being able to accommodate 30, but everyone who wanted to, who was on the waiting list, was able to come. So we're really glad about that. The other people couldn't come once they were on the waiting list. We invited them, but they couldn't come anymore. So we're really pleased we didn't have to turn anyone away. But just to let you know, it's two of us holding a lot of the extra things that, you know, aren't there when you have 15 people, you know? So all the work part and the, you know, some of the coordination of things. So I want to plant the seed in our whole collective mind that we want the retreats to stay this size and to grow. And we'll need to bring in more infrastructure so that, you know, a retreat manager could manifest for the next retreat. Make things a lot easier for us so that, you know, I can just prepare a Dharma talk. Anyway, I offer that to all of us to say, you know, as we go through this whole weekend together, we're all going to create this experience for each other. You know, everything that, all the practices that we do are like we're creating a boat. You know? You can call it a Sangha boat. So a Sangha means a spiritual community, a group of people who practice together to hold one another, to carry one another through the ups and downs of our lives. And so we each bring something to that boat. You know, we also take refuge in that boat. So every time you show up and are present with your breathing, present with your steps, we're creating the Sangha boat together. And what you're doing is something someone else can rely on and take refuge in. So that also helps me to feel less like I have to do something up here, because I can take refuge in you and in your practice. Just one more story about that. The ancestors. It was after 9/11, and Tai was in New York just days, weeks after 9/11, and he was being interviewed constantly. Just one magazine, newspaper after another was having interviews with him throughout the whole day. What should we do? How should we respond to this great tragedy? And he was sitting very still, very powerfully present to give interview after interview. And my father happened to be there with him. I wasn't there. And he asked Tai towards the end of the day, how can you have the energy to do this? And Tai looked away. And then slowly he said, it's the ancestors who are doing this. It's not me. So, taking refuge in each other, creating a retreat experience with and for each other. We draw on our ancestors to do this. And when we need strength, when we need to find a source in us to help us through, we can call on those ancestors in us. It's very important to stay connected to them, to know that they are actually in our bodies right now. Our ancestors are in every cell of our body. And they want us to spend time with them. I remember in a meditation, I was in touch with all of my ancestral mothers. I was feeling them in a circle with me, many, many generations of mothers, and really feeling their support. And I asked them if they had a message or any teaching, anything for me. And the message I got was, "We want you to spend more time with us." I don't know how well I've done that, but I try to remember. So we begin each retreat for people of color, we begin with honoring the ancestors, bringing them in, spending time with them, inviting them to be here and spend time with us. So, this retreat is titled Healing Ourselves, Healing the World. And healing begins with what is right here and now. And our experience of woundedness, of brokenness, is an embodied experience. We exist in the world in bodies. And it's at the level of our bodies that racism and sexism and homophobia and ableism and binary gender constrictions and ageism, all of those things happen at the level of the body. So to heal ourselves, to heal our world, we need to start with the body. We talk about mindfulness, but I learned another word that I also like a lot, and that's bodyfulness. So, in this retreat and in our daily lives, if we can occupy our bodies, if we can be bodyful and attentive to our own physical embodied experience, we can get in touch with some very important information that we need in order to heal. It doesn't happen outside of our bodies. And so much of the violence that happens in our society, the hatred that is expressed to us as people of color, as people of wide, many different identities that do not conform to the standard, to the norm. That violence happens because of disembodiment. You know? People can only inflict harm on other bodies when they're disconnected from their own bodies. We can only inflict the harm that we're inflicting on Mother Earth, which is very grave, we all know, because we're disembodied. If we were in our bodies, we would know that what we do to the earth, we do to ourselves. What we do to another body, we do to ourselves. A book that I am finding a lot of inspiration for, I brought all my other ancestors here in their books, my living ancestors, as Sister Peace says. But this is one, Zenju Earthlin Manual, The Way of Tenderness. Some of you may know it. She is a beautiful Zen teacher in Oakland. African-American, bisexual, queer. Not privileged in terms of economic, socioeconomic background. The Way of Tenderness, she talks about how can we open up to our full experience of tenderness. In the midst of so much harshness, so much violence and injustice directed at our very bodies, our very